Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. It's on page 785 in the church Bibles. Cry aloud. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honourable. If you honour it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What's your memory like? Those of you who are married men, if your wife sends you to the shop and tells you to get 5 things, how many do you come home with? What do you do to help yourself remember? Maybe you make lists on your phone, or if you're old school, on paper. Maybe you set reminders on your phone. We tend to forget, and so we need to do things to remind ourselves. Today we come to think about Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. And these verses start by telling us to remember. This is something that we need to remind ourselves about. Something that we're not to allow ourselves to forget. But what does it tell us to remember? It says, remember the Sabbath day. For the Jews, the Jewish people to whom this law was first given, the Sabbath day was celebrated on a Saturday. Well, actually, from the evening of the Friday to the evening of the Saturday, from sunset to sunset. As Christians, we celebrate the Sabbath day on the day called Sunday, because that's the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. But we're told, remember the Sabbath day. What are we to remember to do? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're not to forget to keep the Sabbath day holy. The word holy basically means separate or different. God wants us to keep the Sabbath day different from other days. Of course, one of the ways we do that is by coming to church, by meeting together with God's people to worship God. We do that on the Sabbath day in a way that we don't do it on other days. And that's something that we are to do each Sabbath day. We are to meet with God's people for worship. It's not to be something we just do from time to time. It's something we're to make a point of doing every week, unless it's absolutely impossible. But as we look more closely at the verse, I think we'll see that there's more involved in this verse than that. That is included in it very definitely. But there's more here as well. How much of the Sabbath day is to be different from other days? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The whole day is different. It's holy. Each Jewish day started at sunset, around about 6 p.m. And so the Jews were instructed that their Sabbath should run from sunset to sunset. They weren't to reduce the day to a shorter period of time. Leviticus 23 verse 32 says, from the evening until the following evening you are to observe the Sabbath. And so it's to be the same for us. The day is to be the same length as any other day. The whole of the Sabbath day is to be different. But how is it to be different? Well, God tells us in verses 9 and 10. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. 6 days for work, 1 day for God. And that's important. It's not primarily 6 days for work and 1 day for rest. No, it is that. That's not the most important bit. It's 6 days for work, 1 day for God. Yes, we're not to work, but that's only so that we can spend the day with God. Whatever we think, God knows that there are some things that we can't multitask. We can't focus fully on our work and fully on God. Yes, of course you can think about God as you work from time to time. It's good to do that. We should do that. But you can't give God 100% of your attention while you work. That needs time on its own. And so God has told us to set aside a day of the week when we don't work, so that we can focus on Him. I want to read you a quote from a book I'm reading at the moment, A Praying Life, by Paul Miller. He's not speaking specifically about the Sabbath, but what he says is relevant to us. He says, "You don't create intimacy. You make room for it." This is true whether you're talking about your spouse, your friend, or God. You need space to be together. Efficiency, multitasking, and busyness all kill intimacy. In short, you can't get to know God on the fly. If we want to get intimate with God, we need space to do that. And God has created a day in each week to give us the space to do that. Remember, it is the Lord's day. 6 days for work, 1 day for God. Let's think about that for a moment. What implications does it have for how we spend the Lord's day? The Sabbath is not just about stopping work. It's for us to spend time with God. So if we just stop work, but don't think at all about God, are we keeping the Sabbath as God wants? Or if you spend most of the day asleep, are you spending the Sabbath as God wants? Or if you spend the day in front of the TV, are you using the Sabbath for the purpose God intends? Or playing computer games? Or watching sport? Is that why God gave us the Sabbath day? Is that how he wants us to use it? Or if you spend the day visiting people and talking about everything except God, is that how God wants us to use his day? Or if we sit at home and talk about everything except God, is that what he's given us this day for? The Sabbath day isn't to be a list of rules. That's not what it's about. It's not about drawing up a list of do's and don'ts and enforcing other people to keep them. But it is to be about 6 days for work and one day for God. Listen to what God himself says in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, part of the chapter we read earlier. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's not to be a day for us to do what we want. It is God's day. Those verses also emphasize it is to be a delight. It says we are to call the Sabbath a delight. Then you shall take delight in the Lord. Apparently the Jewish people had two commandments for the Sabbath. The first was do not work. The second was be joyful. Those were the two things that they were to do on the Sabbath. And if we are God's people, if we love him, surely we will want to spend time with him. Surely we will delight to be able to do that. This is a day God has given us, when we can push back the things that crowd into every other day of our life, the things that keep us from spending time with God. It's a day which he has designed so that we can spend time in the presence of our Savior. A day when we can spend time with Christ. A day when we can think about Christ, when we can meditate on what he's done for us. When we can thank him. A day when we can read about him. A day when we can meet with his people to worship him. Surely, if we love God, surely we should long for an opportunity to leave behind the lesser things, even though they are essential, and spend time with God. But if we don't have that desire, if the Sabbath day seems to us more like something we have to suffer than something we can enjoy, we need to ask ourselves, is our heart right before God? If we don't long to spend time in God's presence, surely there's something not right. If we're a Christian, there's something out of sync. Or maybe you're not even a Christian at all. And that's where I think we need to start when we're thinking about the Lord's Day. Do we love the Lord? Are we one of his people? If we are, then the Lord's Day is a great opportunity to spend time in His presence. But if you haven't personally trusted in Christ, if you haven't come to Him yourself, confessed your sin, and asked Him to forgive you, that's what you need to do. That's where you need to start. There's no point keeping a list of rules about the Sabbath day if you aren't in a personal relationship with God. That's what is most important. And when we get that right, when our relationship with God is as it should be, then the Sabbath day will flow from it. And the closer we come to God, the more we will delight to spend time with Him. Those of you who are parents, the Sabbath day is something your children need help with. You need to be imaginative. You need to do what you can to help them spend time in God's presence. To help them think about God on His day. It's not to be a day where it's no, don't do this, no, don't do that, no, don't do the other constantly. If we can focus on the positive side of it, it'll be so much better for them. Can we talk about God with our children? Can we show them DVDs about Bible stories? Can we read them stories from the Bible about God? Can we play games that are based on the Bible? We need to be imaginative to help, to think, do all we can to think about how we can help our children to focus on God, on God's day. Before we leave Exodus 20 and verse 10, I want to note one more thing. In this verse, we see that God isn't just concerned about you making sure that you keep His day. It's broader than that. Now listen to what He says. On it you shall not do any work. But He doesn't stop there. He says you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. God isn't just concerned about you keeping this day as you should. He's concerned about you making sure others can keep this day as well. We're not to make others work on the Sabbath day. Of course, there's some work that's essential. I am working at the moment. Pastors are to work on the Sabbath day. If you need a verse for that, it's Matthew 12, verse 5. It speaks of the priests in the temple working on the Sabbath day and yet being innocent. There is some work that is essential on the Sabbath day. But much work isn't. And as far as possible, we're not to have anyone do non-essential work for us on the Sabbath. I'm just going to throw out some different areas for you to think about. I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong. I'm just going to ask you to think about a few different areas. What about people who work in shops? Should we get them to work for us on the Sabbath day? What about the people who sell Sunday newspapers? What about the people who have to write Monday's newspapers on Sunday? What about those who work in restaurants? What about those who help us get about? Taxi drivers, bus drivers, airplane pilots. What about professional sports people? What about those involved in the TV industry? Cameramen, engineers, commentators. I appreciate that there are different situations, and what may be essential work in one circumstance may not be essential work in another. There's maybe not clear-cut answers to these areas. But there's some of the areas that we should be thinking about. As far as possible, God tells us that we're not to get other people to work for us on the Sabbath day. God has told us to remember the Sabbath day in verse 8. He's told us how he wants us to do that in verses 9 and 10. 6 days we work, one day for God. And in verse 11 he tells us why he wants us to do that. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God wants us to rest on the Sabbath day because that's what he did. When he created the world, he spent 6 days making the world and he rested for one day. And as he did that, he was giving us an example to follow. You see, God has designed us so that we need rest. You can see that your body needs rest. What happens if you miss a night's sleep or two nights' sleep? In fact, they did an experiment to see how long human beings could stay awake and how they could function. And every time they went to fall asleep, they poked them. And they did various tests to see how well they were coordinated and things like that. I think the longest they stayed awake was maybe about 5 days or something before eventually they keeled over, no matter how much they were poked. But our bodies need rest. Most of us spend between a quarter and a third of our lives asleep, resting our bodies. But of course, we are not just a body. We are made up of body and spirit. And it's not just our body that needs rest. Our spirit needs rest as well. God is spirit. And he rested. Our spirit is to rest from the pressures and responsibilities of life. That's why God has given us the Sabbath day, so that we can rest both body and spirit. If your body doesn't get enough rest, what happens to it? It gets weary, it gets weak, it gets sick. So what do you think will happen to your soul if it doesn't get enough rest? It will get weary. It will get weak. It will get sick. If you're struggling as a Christian, if you're finding your love for God growing cold, could it be that it's because your spirit isn't getting the rest that God intended? Our verse ends, "Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God made the Sabbath day special. Will you treat it as special? Will you make a point of remembering that it is the Lord's? Our Father, you are the one who has created us. You have made our bodies and our spirits in ways that we don't understand. We thank you for the gift of rest. We thank you for the refreshment our bodies experience after a good night's sleep. And we thank you for the Sabbath day, for this day of rest that you have given to us, for our bodies and for our spirits. Father, we pray that we would take this opportunity to turn aside from the busyness of other days, and to spend time in your presence. We thank you that in our weekly schedule that you have given us the space to get intimate with you. Father, help us to delight in this. In Jesus' name, Amen.